This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
As we've said on other programs, every member of a team has a special place, a special role. That's what makes it function well. Then, of course, there is the leader of the team. That is a special role. And today, we're going to learn about good leadership and what it involves. Our special guests today, again, happen to be Gordon and Rosemary. Their specialty is team counseling, team building, and career counseling. They've been with us for several weeks now discussing the factors that make an effective team. Leadership is what is on their minds today. And if we were to look back at the New Testament, we would find some guidelines there about leadership. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, well, they both have something to say about leaders in the church.
What I always find interesting is that almost nothing speaks to skills, and almost the whole talks to character, that the person, their relationship with the Lord, the way they handle their life, the way they live in a biblical manner is paramount. And I think whenever we're talking about leadership of Christian groups, we need to constantly bring this to the fore. It's very easy in this day of lots of management principles, what a leader is, to ignore that concept. I guess Jesus is the best example we'll ever have of a leader, and he was the servant leader. There was no lording it over people, no bossing people about. He was serving them, mentoring them, showing them by example. Wonderful. You could do no better than just read through the scripture and learn the life of Jesus if you want to lead.
Well, you can make all kinds of rules for what makes a good leader, but when you come right down to it, leadership style very largely depends on the personality of the leader. So this, of course, means that
there are many different ways of leadership. In fact, it is said that any personality type can lead, but it will take a different shape, a different form of leadership. So whilst we may say in the management world, leaders will tend to be either a coordinator or a shaper, I think within the Christian world, God can sovereignly choose any personality to be a leader. Having said that, I think that in certain places it is preferable to have certain types of leader. When you start a new work, it's probably preferable to have a visionary as a leader, not to say that other types of people can't do it. I think as a work gets further established, then the sort of person who makes sure that things keep going, which would be a rather different type of person than the visionary, can give a good lead. So teams can be led by different people at different stages in its life.
The life cycle of teams, that a visionary starts it off, and then somebody comes along and gives it some structure, and then someone begins to identify its value system. But by then, the organization is losing touch with the world around it and needs another visionary to say, where do we go from here? What's our place in today's world? How do we face up to the challenges that are facing us now? So it's a continuous cycle.
Last week, we talked about studies that have been done on teams and the members of a team and how they function together. And we learned that there are 8 different roles that are present in every successful team. That same research also discovered why some management teams are more successful than others.
Of the 2 types of teams that were consistently successful, one was the classic balance team, and the second one was a team that's made up of individuals who like being in a team. Your team workers and your implementers and those types of people. But the problem with that can be a tendency to complacency. And actually, by having a shaper within the team or as the team leader, it will spur them on to fresh efforts. When Meredith Belbin did this research, the shaper was identified as being the type of personality that is more often in management leadership, actually, than the coordinator. The shaper is the challenging, dynamic type of person who thrives on pressure, and they have the drive and the courage to overcome obstacles. The coordinator is more your typical chairperson. that clarifies goals, that promotes decision-making, that delegates, that finds out what the rest of the team think and works towards consensus. The shaper won't always go for consensus. So whilst you may think, oh, the shaper sounds a little negative, they will spur the team on, make sure that they achieve. Now, as Christians, obviously, the shaper personality can be difficult to handle because it doesn't sound terribly Christian. The shaper will go for what they think right and they'll have the drive to push it through.
Your intuitive thinker is very much your shaper type leader or your visionary type leader who knows where they're going and really wants to harness the team to their vision. The intuitive feeler is more in tune with human values and is much more likely to be working for consensus and making sure that everyone on the team is feeling happy in their role and comfortable. If we are a shaper and we've got this tendency to roughness and not always considering others' feelings, then what a wonderful opportunity to use the strength of our shaper gift but to modify it by God's love. If we're a coordinator, we've got great strengths, but maybe we need to sometimes take tough decisions and not wait for consensus. So we're all being modified by circumstances. We're all learning from experience. None of us is 100% of any one personality type, nor 100% of any one team role type.
You're listening to MemCare by Radio, where we're visiting with Gordon and Rosemary and learning about teams and what makes them function well, about team leaders and what makes them effective, and team management. So, what are we to do, and what are we to avoid so that a team can function well? Today, Gordon and Rosemary are concentrating on team management, and one thing they have learned that is very important, and that is a clear team structure. It's vital.
It's very nice to think of teamwork purely in terms of the touchy-feely relationship, but we are talking about a team is a group of two or more people who have a common goal, and we need to focus on the work aspects of the team. What is the goal? Do we know when we've achieved it? Who's responsible for what and where? Without these things can often lead to a lot of conflict. I like to think of secular management as saying people have worked hard over many, many years to say how can these difficult human beings learn to cooperate together? And they've come up with management principles as some way of enabling us to do so. And as Christians, there's a lot we can learn from what they found out. Remember, the team usually is responsible to somebody somewhere. And there's certain things they can do and certain things they've not been asked to do. They're not just free to look at the whole world and say, what would we like to do today? So they need to have a clear idea of what their mandate is, what they've been asked to do. What authority have they been given to do it? What's the budget limits? How are decisions made? Who's in charge? Who reports? Sometimes teams can spend too much time on these sort of issues, but mostly probably in Christian teams, these things are not talked about until conflict arises, and then may not be the best time to handle them. Often a clear authority or structure can prevent us having conflict because we say, well, that's my opinion, but it's your decision. You're the one responsible for this area.
Something that helps in establishing good team management and structure is a mission statement for the team. Plus, a clear outline and a setting out of the tasks and goals and responsibilities of the team and each member of the team.
If you try to get the goals written down, this can really help the team to see where they're going, what they're after, and can help them to get focused, get back on task.
I can think of a team of young people in their early 20s taking some sort of year overseas before settling down to their careers, who went out as a team to a third world country and spent a whole day, 8 hours, just talking about the mission statement. And in a sense, you say, what a waste of time. And boy, couldn't they agree quicker. But in fact, they thrashed out an awful lot of issues in talking about that and heard each other, one saying, well, it's very important that we involve local people, and another say it's very important that we do this. And when they eventually reached consensus, to the best of my knowledge, none of those principles that they'd discussed through in the beginning ever caused them major problems. Whereas if they'd gone into their work without discussing them, then they would have been trying to discuss them in a conflict-oriented environment.
If you're a team member, maybe you're wondering, is it difficult to set these goals in detail? And is it really practical?
Somehow we have to find the balance between clear goals, clear team structure so we know as far as possible who is the leader and what is the task that each member of the team is involved with, but flexibility to see which way the Holy Spirit is leading us. I think both are important.
We use the term a lot, regular review. All teams should regularly review. You can only say at one point in time, what is the goal you see? After 6 months with further experience and further events happening, you need to sit down and relook at the goal. The danger with a team that sets a goal and never looks at it again is that that goal will have changed by circumstances. So all teams should review themselves. Whatever's written down, whatever's agreed, it's not set in concrete. It's just a structure to help us to work in the immediate future. And then at the end of another period of time, we can sit down and look at it again and talk about it again and reset our goals and reset our direction. And of course, a more stable environment will require less flexibility. And if you're going into work that's totally new with very little experience, then it's going to be all change and you're going to have to be able to adapt to it and be ready to take it on board.
I'd say that sometimes when we go in with a team to do some team building, they ask us to come and help. In fact, what we're doing is facilitating them reviewing themselves, saying, where are we at? How far have we come? What are our goals now? And how can we move towards that? So sometimes third-party help can help to review where you're at, just to reset, to be flexible, or to set goals and objectives if they've never been set.
Today, we began thinking about leadership and moved on into team management. And as we're thinking about team goals and plans and team management and all things related to that, we have to remember the team leader and how he or she fits into the equation.
The team leader can review the team himself. He can set many of the things that are needing to be set. Perhaps what's difficult for him to review is his own performance, unless he's exceptionally self-confident and can ask other members of the team to review his performance, which some leaders are able to. Yes, certainly, setting the goals, making sure that the team is on course, reviewing the team, building his own team. Many good team leaders can and do that. Possibly we are called in to help teams several different points in their team's life at the setup point sometimes. Sometimes if a team is struggling for some reason, we'll be asked in to help. Sometimes we're asked in at the end of a team's life to help the team with the wind down process.
Today, we learn some more about teamwork, about team leadership, team management, team goals, and a little bit about team evaluation. Gordon and Rosemary were our special guests today, and they'll be back with us again next week at this same time when we'll look some more at teams. And in particular, next week, we'll be thinking some more about team evaluation and how a team can develop and grow in relationship to each other and also in effectiveness.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.